and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Wow. Just so honored. And thank you. Oh, do you feel that? That wasn't rhetorical. Do you feel that? I'm telling you, he's here. And whether you're aware of it or not, he is here. And I feel such an expectation in this room. I feel such a stirring in this room. I feel like a holy fear that has come on me that my words need to be well placed tonight. Because I feel like I'm speaking more than just to Horizon Church. I feel like I'm speaking to you in 6 months, 6 years, 60 years from now. We're going to remember what God has done all throughout this weekend. Come on, if you agree with that, just tell the Lord, I want to be marked. Jesus, Jesus, you may be seated. I feel so good. I feel like preaching tonight. I even changed the message. I actually had another message that I'd sent ahead to the media team, and I'm sure they had graphics and all this cool stuff prepared. I'm not sure if they got it now, but I sent it about 3 hours ago, and I felt like while I was watching the Eagles win, I felt like God started downloading a different message, one that I almost had the enemy steal from me. And I feel like God has just put these words and lit them on fire on the inside of me. And I know that the same thing is going to happen to you tonight. But, you know, I believe God passengers on honor. And I want to give honor once again to some amazing friends, Pastors Brad and Pastor Ali. Come on, one more time. Can you thank God? Thank you. Thank you. She said that was a little, you know, just a little bouquet of flowers. It looked like a bush. They handed you a whole tree on stage. Man, what an amazing 72 hours. Come on, do you realize what you have been in 72 hours? And just every word building upon the other to where it just, I feel like anything is possible tonight. Anybody else? And so I want to move straight into the word and what God has for us tonight. I want you to go in your Bible, if you can. Turn on your Bible, go to 2 Kings chapter 7, and for the sake of time, I want you to find Matthew chapter 17, all right? 2 Kings chapter 7 and Matthew 17. Now, I'm going to make a few remarks. I feel like I need to warn you, I'm going to read the Bible. I feel like a lot of it. I don't know why. I'm not apologizing for that. That's like going to Macca's and apologizing for eating a hamburger. You know what I'm saying? That's like going to an Italian restaurant and apologizing for eating pasta. If you're going to come to church, you're going to get the Word of God. Are you with me? And so, but I'm going to read, but I'm going to take several detours at certain places. And the reason why is I feel like there's a message while I read, and then there's a message I'm going to preach, all right? But I feel prophetic edges all over the message. I feel like, I almost like I'm repeating this, but it is worth saying at least one more time that you are being positioned prophetically. I feel like God tonight is putting the finishing touches, not just corporately, but individually. I feel like you have turned a corner like we talked about the sonic boom with Vicky. I feel like we have started a new chapter in the life of the Horizon Church and the Church of Australia. Are you with me? And I feel tonight's assignment is to stir up expectation. I feel, you have to understand, you set yourself up by your expectations. I just bear witness with what Jackson was saying. It stirred my heart. Anybody else? I had the privilege of having the great evangelist, I don't know if anybody would remember Steve Hill, the late Steve Hill. And Steve Hill, who started Brownsville Revival. Thanks, Dustin. The Brownsville Revival. And his daughter is one of my graduates. And I asked her, I said, what was that like growing up as a little girl? She said, you know, the biggest shock to me is, you know, we would show up to church and there would be lines of people waiting to get in church. Not because there was a guest speaker, not because there was a guest artist or a guest worship team. It was just church. And she grew up her entire life as a child. When she would show up, there would be a line in church. And of course, God would move Steve to Dallas, actually, and he would plant his church. And she said, I remember the first time I came to church in Dallas, she said, it shocked me that I walked up to church and there wasn't a line. She said, for so long, I had been just conditioned to expect people wanted to come to church. And I feel that's exactly what's going to happen at Horizon Church, is that your children are going to remember the lines around the block to get in. And then once the auditorium was full, they'd have to wait to the next one. And then they'd hope to get a seat. There will be standing room only in this church. I prophesy it to you. Where you thought that you only had so much room, I'm telling you, they're going to stand in the restrooms. They're going to stand in the cafe. They're going to stand on the streets. You're going to have to put speakers on the corner because of that level of expectation. I'm telling you, I see this in the spirit. I feel like David. I feel like you've been David and you've walked up when Goliath is opening his big mouth trash talking, and David turns to his countrymen, the army of Israel, and he says, is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason? Actually, that word cause, actually, he should have said this. Is there not a history? Is there not a history with God in Australia that he has proven over and over and over again that he is going to invade this country once again, unprecedented, unexpected, like a Holy Ghost ambush and tidal wave coming on the country? So I want to speak into what's happening tonight. But I want to speak into what's stirring in our hearts 6 months from now. I want to know what happened this weekend is still fresh in January. It's fresh in 2020. It's fresh in 2030. I want to speak into the future. And I want to start off with this, is that I feel like so many of us, like Jackson was saying, we've eaten and eaten and eaten and eaten, and it's almost like, gosh, this is so overwhelming. And it's so good. And we could reduce it. The danger is we could reduce this weekend to just the conference. And then you would have to wait one more year to get it again. And we could have another outpouring like we've seen. Friend, can I tell you, the same presence that met us on Thursday, yesterday, today, is going to be here tomorrow. It's going to be here 2 weeks from now. It's going to be here 3 months from now. If your expectation is set in the right place, do not let the devil immunize you. Listen, prophetic warning. I feel like I'm spiritually bipolar tonight because I feel prophetic and apostolic at the same time. But let me tell you, there is a challenge of immunization. You know what immunization is? Like a flu shot. I don't know if they do this here, right? And so, I'm not sure. I'm American. We don't know anything, okay? And so, especially in Australia. So, immunization is to prevent you from getting the flu, they give you an immunization shot. Which means that they put a bunch of the cure, but they put a little bit of the real thing on the inside of you so that your body can fight it. I think the enemy would love for you to have a weekend of the real thing so that the rest of the year you're immunized because you have the rest of the year working against you. Could it possibly be that we could settle if we're not careful? We could get comfortable if we're not careful. We could be okay with 3 days with God instead of a lifetime with God. Don't let the enemy immunize you. Are you with me? I just feel strong about tonight, as you can tell. 2 Kings chapter 7. I love this passage because it gives me great peace. It gives me great hope. It's filled with authority. You have to understand the background, though. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 8, the Syrian army comes and encamps around the city of God. And they are going to siege and try to conquer the Israelites. And they have cut off the supply lines that go into the city. So no food, no water, no supplies are getting into the city, because they want to starve the people out so they don't lose any soldiers, and this is the least amount of bloodshed. So nobody's coming in and nobody's coming out of the city. and it is food is so scarce, resources are so deprived that there is people are literally eating donkey heads and dove droppings. Listen, I don't care how much Vegemite you put on donkey heads and dove droppings, it's gonna taste like donkey head and dove droppings. Are you with me? I don't care how thin the layer is in butter, okay? Don't care, all right? I mean, the king himself is wondering, where is the breakthrough gonna come from? I mean, the people are resorting to all kinds of extreme measures. You go and read it. The king is walking on the wall, and a woman says, oh, king, help us. And he says, woman, if God won't help you, how can I help you? But what's your request? She said, my neighbors convinced me to eat my son. And then the next day, we would eat theirs. But she's gone and hidden her son. This is a whole nother message. I promise you, okay? I'm not promoting cannibalism. I just want to clear that up tonight. But she says, they gone and hit my son and I've killed my son. I mean, you talk about, these aren't just tough days. These are bad days. Are you with me? And then this happens here, 2 Kings chapter 7. The prophet of God shows up and truly, true to word, God starts speaking through his man, Elisha. And this is what Elisha says. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1. It says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time. Everybody say, tomorrow about this time. Come on, church, say it again with some authority. Tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Do you realize what he's saying by tomorrow about this time? That would like be me getting up here and telling you, tomorrow about this time, gas is only going to be $1. Yeah, some of you just got saved right there, right there. You just had a Holy Ghost breakthrough right there, right? You understand what? Then listen, notice what he's prophesying. He's not prophesying cheap food. What he's prophesying is king's table food, which I believe is what's happening this weekend and from this point forward in the history of this church, that God is not going to give you the scraps off a table. You're not going to live off the podcast of somebody else's house, but God is raising up the kings in this place, and you will eat like royalty and administer justice and power the same. It's amazing what he says. Tomorrow about this time. Jump down to verse 3. We're going to skip verse 2. We're going to read that as we close out this evening. Verse 3 says this. Now there were four leprous men. How many leprous men? Four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let's go into the city, there's famine in the city, we're going to starve. If we just sit here, we're lepers, we're going to die. Therefore, come, let us surrender the army of Syrians. If they keep us alive, we get to live. If they kill us, we were going to die anyways because we're lepers. That's the Chris Estrada version, okay? Verse 5. And they rose at twilight. When did they rise? Twilight. When did they rise? Twilight. I want you to remember that. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots, the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel is hired against us, the king of the Hittites, the king of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore, they arose and fled at twilight. When did they flee? When did they flee? All right, remember that. And left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, their donkeys, all, and they all fled for their lives. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, ate and drank, and carried from it gold, silver, and clothing, and went and hid them. You know what that's called? Savings. And they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there and went and hid that. You know what that's called? Investing, right? Listen, look at, you have to understand. Have you ever found maybe like $10, $20 on the ground? Right? You don't do a public service announcement when you find money on the ground. You're like, hey, anybody's money right here? Is this your money? Is this your money? Is this your money? No, you don't do that. You are very discreet and quiet all of a sudden, right? You see that $20 on the ground, you're like, because you're a Christian and everything under your foot belongs to you, right? And if you're extra charismatic, you walk around it seven times just to make sure you break every curse and generational, you know what I mean? Like, and then very nonchalantly, you work that $20 right on up your leg like this and get it real quick, put it in your pocket real quick. Now you do all of that for $20, imagine how you would behave when you find an entire enemy camp deserted and you only are the only one that knows about it. I'm telling you, the enemy is deserting places right now because he is cold scared about what God is doing in Australia, from your government to your education system to your church to the marriages. I'm telling you, all over, things are being vacated in the heavenlies right now. It's interesting. Look at verse 9. Then these lepers said to one another, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're being silent. If we wait until morning, punishment's going to come on us. Therefore, let's go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them. We went to the Syrian camp. Surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied, and the tents are intact. And the gatekeepers called out, told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done. They know we're starving. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive.'" Now look up at me again. I told you I was going to take several detours. It is always amazing to me, and I have seen this over and over again, when God starts to produce what he promised, when revival starts to break out like it's happening right now, when breakthrough starts to happen like it's never been seen, it always brings out the naysayers. It always brings out the critics, the cynics, those who think they have figured it out more than God. I'm amazed at how many times when the Holy Spirit starts being poured out on a region or on a church or on a group of people, how people come and say, "Well, let me just tell you what's really going on. Let me tell you what that really looks like." Ain't nobody care what it looks like. I'm just glad God's days of visitation are still happening and God's still moving and things are still being loosed on the earth. Who cares about your experience? And may I remind all of us who have had those kind of moments in past revivals that was for then. I want the fresh. I want the new. I want what God promised us. I want what's now. We're not expanding the 80s. We're not. Some of you are like, "Okay, I'm in. I'm totally in. I'll just keep going." This is awesome, right? He said, "Let me tell you, they're going to ambush us in the field." And one of his servants, one of the king's servants, answered and said, "Please," you have to read this right, "please let several men take 5 of the remaining horses." You only got 5 horses in all of Jerusalem, okay? 5 of the remaining horses left in the city. "Look, they're either going to become like the multitude that's in here and they're going to starve to death, or indeed I say they may become like the multitude left from those who are consumed. Just send them and see." Therefore, they took 2 chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army. "Go and see." They went after them to the Jordan, and indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. I'm here to tell you what the enemy has stolen from you, cut off from you. On your way to a mighty outpouring, it'll be full of all the treasures and all the blessing and all the healing and all the restoration. And you thought you were going to have to wait for a moment. No, this thing is going to happen over. It's going to come in waves. Just like the waves hit the beach here in Cronulla, each wave is going to bring its own weapon. Each wave is going to bring its own breakthrough. Each wave is going to bring its own blessing. Anybody else receive this by faith tonight? It says, and they threw him away. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out, plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. My goodness. Let's pray tonight. Holy Spirit, I feel your presence. I think everyone in this room ought to feel what I'm sensing right now. I believe that they do. And if they don't, I just command it right now to be increased of his awareness now in Jesus' name. Father, I speak to this atmosphere and I say that it's full of faith. It's full of the prophetic anointing. It's full of apostolic oversight. It's full of strategy. It's full of vision. It's full of planning. We're not here to end something tonight. We came to start something tonight, God. We didn't come here to conclude a conference. We came here to start a hunger trail and a lifestyle of burning hearts, where we are not okay with just having regular church and regular service. I feel like you're pulling us in to an encounter. I prophesy this over all of you. God is going to begin to trust you with key moments. Every church represented, not just Horizon, God is going to trust you with key moments. And he's going to give you key moments because you are that key for that moment. He's going to give you key moments in the government, key moment in the school systems, key moment in marriages in your neighborhood. He's going to trust you with turning point moments. I'm talking about divine turnaround moments. I believe that God is pulling you into a season of encounter. These key moments will begin to shape your strengths. They're going to shape your identity. I declare Isaiah 49:2 right now over every person that you are a polished arrow waiting in God's quiver. That you have been polished, you have been prepared, you have been chiseled, you have been designed, you have been readied so that when God puts you in his bow, he is going to thrust you forward like you have never seen before, and you will take out your giants, you will hit your target, you will do everything God designed for your life. I release it on this house in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone shout it. Amen, amen. I'm calling this message a divine turnaround. That's the season we have stepped into this weekend. It's going to mark you for the next 15 to 16 months. Divine turnaround. I'm talking about weekly. Divine turnarounds. You know, I love sports. That's why I ended up watching a sport. I didn't even know how to score it. I just knew if they kicked it between the poles, that was a good thing, and I was going for the blue and gold. I was going for the blue and gold, right? Because God represents eagles, and eagles represent God, so I figured that was safe, right? So I love sports, and my favorite sport is basketball. I love basketball, and because I live in Dallas, my favorite team is the Mavericks. And I remember in 2000, I believe it was 2006, I remember when the Mavericks fought through all the injuries, Jai, and they went through all the playoffs and everybody doubting them, and they get through all the semifinals, and they finally get to the Western Conference Championship, right? And watch this, they win it, which just an amazing performance by that star at that time, Dirk Nowitzki. And God loves Dirk Nowitzki, I'm just telling you right now, he's his favorite. And so I remember watching them, and I remember the award ceremony for the Western Conference trophy. If you remember, I don't know if you follow the NBA, but if there's an award ceremony, you know that the commissioner's there, and he gives it to the owner, which at that time is Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban gives it to the head coach, which is Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle takes it and gives it to Dirk Nowitzki, who's the MVP. Dirk takes that trophy, and he smiles, takes pictures with it, all over, gives it a kiss, the whole thing, right? And then he goes and celebrates the night away, but they would go on to lose to the Miami Heat. I know your pastor's favorite team is the Miami. So what I say next is very important. So anyways, they lose to the Miami Heat. And you talk about a crushed spirit, you know what I'm saying, inside of me. But then God would have his vengeance in 2010 because the Mavericks would go and fight once again throughout all the season, battle injuries and off-court drama, and then they would go through the semifinals and playoffs, and they would win, again, the Western Conference Championship against the Lakers. And I remember that they did the same award ceremony, same people. Commissioner gives it to Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban gives it to Coach Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle, again, gives it to the MVP, which is Dirk Nowitzki. Except this time, Dirk Nowitzki does something totally different than anyone I've ever seen, ever before, and different from what he did the first time. The first time, held it above his head, took pictures with it, gave it a kiss. Except the second time, he takes that trophy, he gives it to his teammates, and he walks out of the arena. Doesn't even celebrate. And a reporter chases Dirk down and says, Dirk, why are you mad? Like, what's the problem? Shouldn't you be celebrating? And he turns around with all intensity in his voice and his eyes, and he says, I didn't come here for what I already have. I have that trophy already. And I didn't put in all the blood, sweat, and tears it took to get the same thing I already have. I want the title shot. I want a championship because I want something I've never had, to go somewhere I've never been, to do things I have never done. I'm here to tell you, church, where God is taking your church, you have never been. And you have never seen the kind of things he's going to do. And you have never done the kind of things he's going to require from you. But if you will let God's hunger inside of you take you somewhere you've never been, you'll be better for it. It's time for a divine turnaround. You've never been this way before. You've never seen these things before. This is exciting when we start talking about this. To all the OCD people, they're freaking out right now because they're trying to make a list of how this is going to work out. It's time for a divine turnaround. If we're going to experience divine turnarounds, let me give you the first thing. Number one, there is nothing moderate about our God. We have to pray like this. We have to worship like this. We have to preach like this. We have to love like this. There is nothing average, mediocre, halfway, middle of the road, so-so about our God. Are you following me? I remember when I started learning about God's goodness. I remember I was in internet sales for luxury car companies, and I remember one of my first checks was a huge commission check. I called my wife and I said, "Baby, we've got this many thousand." This was years ago because it's in ministry, there ain't no money. So this was when I was in business. And he said, and I just called my wife and I said, "Baby, we got this much money coming in." I mean, it's a large amount. And she goes, "Wow, that's amazing. Praise God." I'm like, "Praise God? No. No, baby, this is a lot of money. This ain't, listen, I didn't even know you could make this much money legally. I knew how to make it another way, but not this way. This came in a check, not in a pillowcase filled with cash stashed under a car that I was supposed to pick up at 11 p.m. This is our money." And she said, "Well, thank God he's such a good provider." And I'm thinking, "Woman, this is a lot of money." And I remember she said, "I'll see you when you get home." I remember I hanging up the phone. And I remember the Holy Spirit quickening my heart, Pastor Brett. He said, he shouted this at me. He said, "You can't measure my goodness by your paycheck." I feel so many times we measure God's goodness on the last breakthrough. That is an indicator of how much more there is for the next breakthrough and the next breakthrough and the next breakthrough. There is nothing moderate about our God. Every time God multiplied food, there was always more left over than what he started with. Listen, when he brought the Israelites out of Egypt, do you remember? They didn't walk out in slave clothes and barely making it. The Bible says the Egyptians took the best clothes, took the gold out of their ears and their noses and started giving it. Why? Because where God is taking the church, you're going to look different. You're going to worship different. You're going to pray different. You're going to serve differently. You're going to be giving generously, give differently. Everything's changing now. It's all changed. There's an outpouring that's happened. I feel like a well has been uncapped. A river is running loose. The Spirit of God has a church right here in the Shire where God can do what God wants to do regardless of agendas and policies and politics and man's craving. God has a church that belongs to him in this here. There's nothing moderate about our God, not one thing. You'll never find him being average. You never find him to be just enough. You never find him just to be, you got just what you need and you don't need any more. You know, a lot of people, they would challenge this thinking. They would say, "That sounds excessive." Well, I think the church has experienced so much lack, I'm okay with excess now. I think we've had such droughts in so many different areas, I'm okay for the flood to come now. I think it's been so dry in so many areas, I'm okay with harvest. And I'm not just talking about harvest once a year. I want harvest every season of every moment of every life on every destiny in every place. Anybody else hungry for a harvest like we've never seen? For an outpouring we've never expected? That's going to happen because there's nothing moderate about our God. Don't think for one thing that you can somehow put this into words. It's going to be hard to explain what God does in the next 15 to 16 months in this church. I'm telling, and every church represented. So just for the future of this, when I say this church, I'm talking about your church too. I really feel the next 15 to 16 months, God is marking this so that you don't become average. So that when people come in here, it's not just good church and good host teams and good children's ministry, but it is the power of Almighty God that starts surging through their body before a song is even sung, before a message is even preached. I'm talking about cancer getting healed in the coffee cafe before they ever get in the altar. I'm talking about deliverance happening on heroin addicts, happening in the parking lot before they ever get someone's hands laid on them. I'm talking about such a glory cloud hovering on this place where miracles of the most unusual kind start to happen. I'm talking about they're going to have hearses driving by and people are going to rise from the dead because of the anointing that's on this house because God is here. Can we believe for some things that are just outside normal that the media is going to have a hard time reporting coming out of the church in Australia? They're not going to know how to write it. They're not going to have words for it. They're just going to have to say it as point blank. It is what it is and there is no exaggeration about it. It's time to understand there's nothing average about our God. My goodness, can you imagine standing in front of a Red Sea? And then God says, watch this. Can you imagine, like, God telling Noah, hey, Noah, build a boat where there's no water. I got you. David, go kill a giant with no armor. Are you following me? There is nothing average about our God. Mary, you're going to have a baby, even though you don't know the man, right? 9 months later, pa-pow, right? There's nothing. He does things. You're just like, is that even real? He puts his disciples in a boat and says, go to the other side. They start straining at rowing. They're freaking out the storm. And Jesus is just walking on the water like. Read it. In Mark chapter 4, it says, and he would have passed them by. He wasn't even planning on stopping. There is nothing average about our God. I mean, Lazarus is dead for days. And then Jesus is like, all right, let's go. Lazarus, come out. And people are like, there is nothing mediocre. There is nothing halfway. There is nothing just enough. He's an abundant, overwhelming, undefeated, without limits, an everlasting source. That's who our God is. And he's not going to change his mind about Horizon Church or anywhere else. There's nothing average about our God. I'm telling you, we're going to have divine turnarounds all throughout this church. It's going to be more than just world news. Even the heavenlies, angels are going to be watching over the balcony of heaven going, please send us. That's exciting again. Ministry has come back. The ministry of the Holy Spirit has come back. Please use us. I'm talking about angelic visitations in homes, in classrooms, on college campuses. I'm talking about Jesus appearing to people that just had a dream. He preaches himself and they get saved. I'm talking about nothing average anymore. Feel like God's unlocking this right now in the heavenlies right now. Feel like there's just warfare happening as I'm preaching this and you're receiving it. And I'm telling you, things are being shaken. We're shaking something loose in heaven so something can fall on the earth, because I am done living from earth to heaven. I am living from heaven to earth because there's nothing average about our God. I want a divine turnaround and I refuse to live with limitations. I want to see things from heaven's perspective. It's nothing average about our God. Here's the second thing. I have a lot of notes. I promise you. Dustin and I would probably preach like maybe a third of our messages. I promise you. A divine turnaround. Number one, there's nothing average about our God. Number two, prophetically, I want to warn you. Look for good news to come from the least likely of places. I'm looking at what happened about a month ago. Good news to come with a transition in your government. Good news is going to come in textbooks in your public schools. I prophesy this to you. Good news is going to come about that doctor's report about your condition. I'm telling you, good news is going to come from places. I'm talking about more than just the occasional check in the mail. I'm talking about you did not know you had land. Someone's going to find out they had land somewhere and they didn't even know about it. And God began to pour out a blessing on you. I'm talking about promotions you never thought you would qualify for because you didn't have the education level and you didn't have the experience, but you had a covenant with God and you started calling it in because there's nothing average about our God. Good news is coming from places you did not expect it, you didn't see it, you couldn't have made it happen, but God. Divine turnarounds. You know, I'm talking about in the smallest of ways too. I think many times we only look for the big boom, but the subtle is really important too. You know, can I just be realistic? How many of you know the best arguments in a marriage happen on the way to church? I mean, when Eric and I were pastoring, we took two cars to church. That's called marriage therapy. That was saving our marriage right there. I'm in the back. Come on, be honest. I mean, some of you bumping each other right now. I see, he's like, he's talking to you. He's talking to you right now. You better pay attention. You heathen, you better pay attention. I remember one time Eric and I were arguing. I don't remember what about. And we showed up at church and we were meeting some of our closest friends there. And I remember I'm getting out of the car, and this is that type of friend. It's not Pastor Dustin, by the way, okay, if you're wondering. This is the type of guy. His name is Jared. You know Jared. Jared Bryan. And Jared, I mean, Jared would take one look at you, and he's an instigator. And if he can take, how many have those friends that can take one look at you and know that something's wrong? But they know that they're going to do something just to irritate you that much more? I'm telling, Jared's a pastor. He's barely saved, but he's a pastor. And Jared takes one look and tells his wife, hey, watch this. Hey, Chris, why are you mad? And I'm like, so mad at Erica. I'm like, bro, he's like, why are you mad? You mad? Erica, what'd you do? Chris, what'd you do? What are y'all arguing? Come on, let's go to church. Anybody ready to worship? Woo, man, it's gonna be good tonight. Yeah, I'm kid you not, this is what Jared's doing. I'm like, dude, if you don't shut up, I'm gonna punch you in the throat. I promise you. So we get in there and, you know, I've just got a sour attitude. I'm sitting there, worship starts, and I'm like, I look at Erica, and she's like, Jared's over there like, yeah, you know, right in front of me, and I'm over there like this. Lockdown, ain't nothing happening, right? I look over at Erica, and again, she's like, and I look at her, and I'm like, hypocrite! You know, I'm so mad. Anybody, don't look at me, don't judge me. You know you've been that way, right? And so I remember I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm getting nothing out of tonight unless I get a fresh touch of joy. I need a fresh touch of joy. I'm getting nothing. I need a fresh touch of joy. I'm getting nothing out of tonight. And so I remember, you know, at the end of service, what do they do? Go high five 19 people or whatever. Go say hi to somebody, right? So my wife turns to me and I'm like, yeah, right. And I turn my back on her. Trust me, I've grown in my marriage. All right, don't send me an email, please, okay? So I turn around and my wife says hi, and I turn my back and I go and I say hi to this woman behind us. And I said, hi, my name's Chris. And she goes, hi, my name's Joy. Good news to come from the least likely places. I remember I told the Lord, I said, Lord, you said you show favor to no man, but it sure looks like you're doing it to Erica right now. I mean, I see you, God. We're going to talk about it later, you know. Good news will come from the least likely of places. I promise you. Some of you have not had a good day in your marriage for a long time. Good news is coming. Some of you have been so worried and overwhelmed about your children. Good news is coming. I promise you, the day is coming when they're going to get saved. The day is coming when they're going to get healed. The day is coming when they're going to find out what they were built, made, and designed for by heaven. The day is coming. Good news is coming. I love this because it says in verse 3, it says, four leprous men brought the good news, right? Four leprous men. Isn't it interesting? Who brought the good news? Notice it wasn't the prophet. Notice it wasn't a king. No, it wasn't a righteous man. It was the leper. Leprous men were types and shadows of people who were sinned, who were sinful and you should have rejected in their society. In fact, they would quarantine them to colonies and they would live in leper colonies. And in some countries, they do that to this day. In fact, they would cut them off from society, could not see their families, could not see their loved ones, could not do anything with their life, and they were to die alone. They would cut them off simply because leprosy was a type and shadow of sin that you had done something against God, and they would cut them off. Can I tell you something, church? Be careful who you cut off. They just might have your delivering word. You know, one thing they would do, they would take stones and they would throw stones at these lepers. And as these lepers were coming in the city, those stones would hit them, which is very deadly when you have leprosy. Can I tell you something, church? Be careful who you throw stones at. Be careful who you're cynical and critical of. I'm talking about the type of outpouring where people who aren't church, who didn't grow up in church, who don't know who Jesus is, that did not even grow up in a Christian nation, are going to start to come to Jesus, and they're going to come dressed all differently. They're going to come and present themselves in such different manners than we're ready for. And I promise you, though, good news is coming out of that. Look at this too. Isn't this interesting? I just prophesied this to you. Celebrities that you thought there is no way they would have an encounter with Jesus, they're going to end up in these seats.
I'm telling you, politicians, you have written off as godless and spiritually clueless and deaf and numb. I'm telling you, the love of God is going to touch their life. They're going to come in this room and they're going to surrender their life to Jesus. It don't matter what party they're a part of. It don't matter what political persuasion they subscribe to. I promise you, I'm telling you, good news is coming from places you don't expect it. You watch news anchors. You're going to watch the media go from liberal to holy like this overnight. I'm telling you, good news is coming from places you don't expect it.
It's happening. It's stirring. It's happening. I'm telling you, it's unlocking the heavenlies as we're talking about it right now. Isn't this interesting too? It says this. It was the lepers. This was not who you would choose. You know, God has a pattern of choosing the least likely. He chooses a murderer to become the person who would write 2/3 of our New Testament. He chooses a shepherd to become king and a type and shadow of Jesus, our Messiah. I mean, he chooses people who wouldn't even choose themselves like Gideon or Esther. Definitely not Ruth, and nobody wants Jacob or Joseph. I'm telling you right now. Yet God, good news can come from the least likely of places. I love verse 5 and verse 7. It says, these four lepers rose at twilight. That's verse 5. It says the army fled at twilight. Did you see that? Twilight's not just the movie. Notice, watch this. Notice God's timing. Notice the timing of this. When the lepers decide to do something about their situation, then God started to do something about the thing that was bothering them and their opposition. When they decided to change what they were looking at, to change their surroundings, to change their appetite, didn't they want to get food? When they changed their appetite, notice what God did. I'm telling you tonight, if you can receive this, I'm telling you right now, what these lepers started was the sound of something that the enemy mistook as an army. I'm telling you, by the praise and worship that comes out of this house, there's going to sound like an army coming out of heaven that's going to touch this city and touch your schools and touch your families. You know, God doesn't even need to materialize anything. He just needs to cause a noise on your behalf. He's that good. Wasn't it the noise of chariots and horses that caused this army to flee? Wasn't it the noise of praise and worship from Paul and Silas in a jail cell that caused the jail cell to be shaken? Wasn't it the noise of trumpets and shouting that caused the walls of Jericho to fall? Wasn't the noise of clay jars and pitchers being thrown down and shouts happening that caused Gideon's enemies to flee? God's causing a noise on your behalf, Horizon Church. He's causing a noise on your life. I'm telling you, a noise of divine turnaround. Is there anyone in this room who'd say, by faith, I want a noise to start on my marriage. I want a noise to start on my body. I want a noise to start on my restoration. I want God to cause a noise. It's time for divine turnarounds. Let me give you the last thing here. Number one, remember, number one, there's nothing moderate about our God. Number two, good news is coming from the least likely of places. And number three, we must deal with unbelief. I have been in so many great atmospheres like this. And then at the end of a great conference, there's always that one or two that's like, I didn't get nothing. And I'm like, what? No, I didn't feel anything. Nothing? Like nothing? Not even a goosebump? Like we could have turned down the air, you'd have felt something. Like nothing? Like nothing? Not nothing? No, I didn't feel nothing. And it used to bother me. I'm like, how? It was electric. How can you walk away from last night and not feel nothing? Let's just be honest. How do you even leave the church and go, eh? Like, listen, what's happened is unbelief has numbed you. It has so numbed you that you have chosen to, you have become so used to living that way that when God comes, you don't notice it anymore. But the good thing about our God, like what, I believe it was Janine, she said, she quoted out of Isaiah, she said, a bruised reed God will not break, and a smoking flax he will not put out. In other words, if you have just a little ember on the, a part of a candle, God can fan that little ember right back into a burning, passionate love relationship with him. If you felt something or you felt nothing, I promise you tonight, when you get rid of that unbelief, you're going to sense God all over you. We must deal with our unbelief. After God does this like phenomenal miracle, watch what happens. Look, remember, look at verse 2. Remember, he says, tomorrow about this time. What a declaration. Tomorrow about this time. Then this happens in verse 2, this verse we skipped over. It says, so an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the prophet Elisha and said, look, if the Lord were to make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And the prophet responded, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you will not eat of it. I mean, you know, like, that's not good, right? Look at verse 17. After the miracle, now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, but the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, which spoke when the king came down to him. Now, I'm not saying if you have unbelief, when you leave church tonight, we're all going to run over you. That is not what I'm saying. All right? That's not what I'm saying. What I am showing you is this is God's attitude towards unbelief. Is the only thing that can stop what God has started this weekend is unbelief. Now, there's not a demon that can stop it. The devil himself cannot stop what God has started. The chapter he's begun to write in this church. The only thing that can stop it is you partnering with unbelief. We must deal with unbelief. You know, Jesus had to deal with this in Matthew 17. In Matthew 17, I'll try and paraphrase this for you because I feel a prophetic anointing hit in this room right now. It's interesting because there's a father who brings his son who's demon-possessed, and they take this son and they give it, he brings it to the disciples, and the disciples try to cast out this demon, and the demon's like doing nothing. Can you imagine this? Like, come out, no, come out, no, come out, no. And so the father gets frustrated. He picks up the boy and takes him to Jesus. Jesus says one word, come out, and this demon flees. Boom. Notice what the disciples do. They do what church folk do. They go to Jesus privately. Or in today, what they would do is they would start a prayer group. And only select people would be there. And they go to Jesus privately and they say, how come we couldn't cast it out? And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 17. Basically, his response is this: because of your unbelief. For I say to you, whoever has faith the size of a mustard seed shall speak to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall be done. And nothing will be impossible. Are you following me? Nothing will be impossible for you. Except this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, for years, I thought the only way I can cast out demons is by praying and fasting. I need to pray and fast. I need to pray and fast. But that is a works mentality that is not grace-oriented. Are you following me? And then God opened this up to me. He said, son, did you notice how I answered the situation? Did you notice what the real problem? The problem wasn't they weren't praying and fasting. Look at how he started the answer. He said, because of your unbelief. In other words, you don't pray and fast to cast out demons. You pray and fast to cast unbelief out of you, and then you can go cast out demons because nothing will be impossible. And I feel a stirring of God in this house. Nothing is going to be impossible for you that you say tomorrow about this time, cancer is going to come off this body. Tomorrow about this time, things are going to change here. Tomorrow about this time, breakthrough is coming to this school. Tomorrow about this time, I see a revival taking over this medicine area. Well, tomorrow about this time, hospitals are going to be emptied because there's no more sick people in the hospital because they stopped by Horizon Church on the way and got totally healed. Tomorrow about this time, rehab centers are going to close down because drug addiction no longer has authority. Nothing will be impossible for you. It's time we deal with unbelief. Unbelief, it always resists the miraculous. When we live in a place so long, we become so used to it, and then we get numb. And I understand that what I'm saying is like, that's easy for you to say. You're getting on a plane and going home. Friend, I'm believing the same thing. We need it in America. Trust me, we need it bad. And I'm not just talking about because of our politics. Listen, God's not left-leaning. He's not right-leaning. He's not this or that. I like what Pastor Benny said a few months ago. He said, God's not taking sides. He's taking over.
That word is true for Australia. God is not choosing sides. He's not choosing propaganda. He's taking over. We just have to get rid of our unbelief. We have to choose to believe God can use anybody, saved or not saved. You look all throughout the Bible and how God put his hand on people that were not Jewish, that did not have a covenant. As King Cyrus, he could not do anything unless God had his blessing on him. God, the Bible even says that God still holds the kings of the hearts of kings in his hands, and he can move it just like water is moved in a river. God is moving people in your life, neighbors, spouses, children, I'm telling you, co-workers, bosses, politicians, teachers, professors, whether they're atheists, whether they're humanists, whether they're anti-God, whether they're Satanists, it does not matter. All we have to do is deal with our unbelief. It's time for divine turnarounds. Would you stand up and join me? Erica, would you come up here? I feel like for many of you, what God did in this church is so much more than Sunday morning. I feel like I almost get the sense there's some of you are like, I wish we could just have another day of conference. And then just have another day, and then another day, and then another day. But this is how seasons work. They end because the season we're in is building the next one. And we go from glory to glory. The Bible, that's literally translated victory to victory. I'm not going from glory to experience. I'm going from glory to encounter, to another one, to another one, to another one. This is divine turnarounds. But if I let unbelief come inside my heart in any place, I promise you, it'll stifle it. It'll weaken it to where we need another conference to get us focused again. Let it not be said that we wasted the spiritual momentum that God has poured out on this church, that we wasted the anointing that God poured out, the authority that you now have. I'm telling you, you're going to go to dinner tonight. You're going to pray for the waitress or the waiter. They're going to get saved tonight. I'm telling you, miracles are going to happen at gas stations. I've seen them happening tomorrow. I see them happening. No matter where you're at, you're going to be a walking revival, a dream of God with legs everywhere you go, because it's time. I'm telling you, church, it's time. Divine turnarounds. Divine turnarounds. And I want my wife to just partner with this and release a couple of things.
Come on, Jesus is here. I want you to drink and draw in because he's here. Father, I thank you that you are moving on your body. And I thank you that your presence, Lord, is opening the blind eyes right now. Father, that it's causing the ears to open that have been deaf to you. Father, I thank you that your word says that without faith it's impossible to please God. But I thank you that you're saying that with faith it is possible to make you smile and to please you, Father. I thank you that this is a church of faith. I thank you that Australia, God, is a church of faith. I thank you, Jesus. I've seen through Horizon Church a tsunami wave of his Holy Spirit is coming forth through the men and women that are going to believe, that are casting out doubt, that are casting out their fears, that are casting out every lie that's been tormenting their soul, that's been hindering their thought life. Father, I thank you right now. I thank you right now. Lord, I thank you. Oh, there's Jesus. He's here. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for being here with us. Thank you for meeting with us. Lord, thank you for taking us to a new level with you, to a new dimension with you. Father, I thank you that Australia is no longer the little brother. I just declare to you that you are the one who's been grown up, that you are the one who has been the model and the setter. You that poverty mentality is being broken off of the church, that somebody else is going to do it is being broken. I thank you that from Australia, from every church represented in this place, every country represented, there's going to be the greatest move of missionaries. You are going to rise up. The greatest move of leaders are going to come. You are going to reproduce leaders in this room. This is a room of leaders that are reproducing. The Billy Grahams, Father, the ones, the Reinhard Barkeys, God. Father, I thank you that these leaders here are the ones that are going to believe and sow into the nations. Father, I thank you right now for those who believe and that are taking this as their word from Jesus. Father, I thank you right now. Father, I thank you. There's a humility in this room. Oh, I'm humbled to be in front of these leaders. Father, I thank you. I keep seeing 3 days from now on the shores of Australia, like fish coming on the shores as a sign to us that Jesus is going to bring the greatest harvest through this group of leaders. Father, I thank you, Jesus. And I thank you. It's not because of me, but it's because of what you're doing. And I thank you. I just see a shift right now in the atmosphere and in the hearts of the people. Father, I thank you right now for what you're doing. I have a phone, I have a number I need to be obedient and release. It's 6464-728977. Does that ring a bell or ring? It's, I don't know if it's an account number or a phone number. Okay. Some of you just need to see me take a risk. Okay. But I believe even somebody is listening on this podcast. These podcasts will go on forever. But the Lord is just releasing whoever that number belongs to. The Lord is just releasing you and taking you out from death to life. The Lord is releasing you and taking out to take risks that are beyond your comfort, that are beyond what you're used to, that are beyond your religion and what has been dead in your life. Whoever is on, I feel like your name is Tamara or Gerald. Father, I thank you. Whoever this number belongs to, I thank you for the risk takers that are being birthed. Father, I thank you even from just watching. Some of you even needed to watch me do it because this is not something that we do just on stage. This is stuff we take out to the marketplace because Jesus doesn't need to stay in your church. You are the church and you are taking it out. You are taking Jesus out.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.